Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 30th day of November 2021, and we are back to live programming again after some absence during a transition period as we were searching for, and yes, praise God, finally found a new facility, which will be the new home of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, starting January 1st, 2022. I am thrilled about it. I am so grateful to God for his providence in finding this place, which is perfect for our needs. It is beautiful. It is breathtaking, as many of you who are on Facebook will testify from the photograph I posted on Facebook of this new facility, a 19th century beautiful building right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Italianate Victorian, they call it, as far as the architecture is concerned. And I just can't wait to move in. But today we have on the program a returning guest, John Harris, who received his Master of Divinity degree from Southeastern Seminary and an MA in History from Liberty University. He is the co-author of a couple of books, and the one we are addressing today is Christianity and Social Justice, Religions in Conflict. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron, John Harris.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Chris, always. Thank you so much. And I'm excited for you, hearing your description there. I'd like to go look at those pictures.
Yeah, it's just such a joy. It is it's actually such a rebuke to me for being so anxious and fearful that I would not find an adequate facility when I found out that my current landlords, are selling their historic house where this program has been broadcasting since we relaunched in 2015. And contrary to Christ's admonition to us to be anxious for nothing, I was anxious about everything in regard to finding a new place for a reasonable cost in a nice neighborhood. And the Lord gave me abundantly more that which I even had hoped for. So I'm looking forward to broadcasting from there for many years, God willing.
And praise God. That's awesome.
I thank all of you who have been praying for this. But you have written a previous book, Social Justice Goes to Church. Tell us how Christianity and Social Justice, Religions in Conflict, is different from the previous book.
Yeah, I did it backwards. I should have probably written Christianity and Social Justice first. So Christianity and Social Justice, the new one that I just released this year, is I actually kind of riffed off of J. Gresham Machen's book, Christianity and Liberalism, and it's sort of the same thing. We are looking at social justice and examining it as a religion, not just a political movement. And I trace the history of it, who the major thinkers were, what it teaches, and then I go through how it syncretizes with Christianity. So I do name names of even people within evangelical circles who have tried to syncretize with this, and I point out the false ideologies, bad theology, I'll even say heresy, that comes from this. And I give Christians a helpful way to respond to it from the Bible and from their own church history. So that's the gist of it. I want it to be as practical as possible for laymen who are in their churches, and maybe they got a new pastor, or just something doesn't feel quite right from the pulpit, and this is a book to help them identify what that might be, and then to for the purposes of reconciliation and doctrinal integrity, to confront it. And what I've heard is that people who have bought this book and read it, and they are using it that way, and it has been helpful. So I feel like I hit the mark with that. And then the first one that I came out with a year ago, Social Justice Goes to Church, that's really more of a book to satisfy people's curiosity. It traces the history of how social justice ideology made its way into evangelical circles. So if you want to know how did this happen, then you read that book. If you want to know how to fight it, you read the new one, Christianity and Social Justice.
Well, I'm going to give our listeners my email address right away in case they have any questions. It is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And some people may be scratching their head, rolling their eyes, saying to myself, hey, you know, Chris, I'm on the same page with you and John Harris and all the other guests you've had on the program opposing the social justice movement, critical race theory, wokeism in general. But come on, man, you've had probably more than a dozen interviews on this subject. Why don't you give it a rest? Enough is enough. Well, I don't think enough is enough, because I have just been astonished as time progresses to see who is coming out of the woodwork, as they say, when it comes to this topic, when it comes to people who embrace social justice as it is defined by those in the woke movement, who are coming from conservative and confessionally reformed churches. My mind is spinning. I can't even comprehend how some people who have been members in good standing and even in leadership positions, especially in Reformed Baptist circles, confessional Reformed Baptist circles, I've heard about it being fairly, unfortunately, rampant in such denominations as the PCA, and I have to be quick to say there are a multitude of very fine, outstanding PCA churches and pastors who are equally as opposed to this movement as I am. But it seems to be amongst Reformed people the place where you most commonly find the woke advocates, the social justice advocates. But it is something that is typically unheard of in old-school, confessionally reformed Baptist churches. And now I'm finding it even existing amongst members there. I haven't heard of any churches yet in that category that are identifying the entire congregation that way. But have you experienced the same thing that I am experiencing?
Well, I'll say this. Every time I go to a church to speak about this, and last month I've probably been to six churches, I always ask, how many of you have lost a friend or had a strained relationship because of the social justice movement? And 75% to 90% of the people raised their hand. And I've been in churches that have split or grown because they were the only Orthodox place in town and everyone else is fleeing the other churches. And whether it's the issue with COVID or the social justice issue, which I think are actually two sides of the same coin, this has certainly created a situation where people are it's rearranging the deck. People are becoming friends with others that they didn't previously know, and they're losing friends and relationships they used to have, maybe for years. And it's not just a political thing. This is a fundamental religion. That's what people need to understand. That's why it's creating the tears that it's creating, because we imbibe this at a very deep level.
Yeah, I had a friend recently who gave me a subtle chastisement on social media when I referred to social justice, critical race theory, and wokeism as heresy. And this individual, who is not in favor of this movement or these ideologies, said, well, heresy is an inappropriate term because this is not a religious movement. And I said, oh, you could not be more mistaken. Why don't you get a little bit more detailed in why this is actually a religious movement?
Sure, yeah. It has somewhat of an Augustinian framework as original sin. There's a conversion experience. There's an eternal state, if you will. So I'll just go through a few things. You have whiteness or heterosexuality or maleness being an original sin parallel. You have political correctness as a new divine law. There's a judgment mechanism, which is just getting canceled. It's in the here and now. It's not in the afterlife. And the good news is you can become born again, which is really just becoming woke. And you can participate in the revolution by taking progressive political action. And eventually, one day, maybe we'll get to a state where we have equity, inclusion, and diversity. That's their version of heaven. And then it parallels to everything else. So the church, they have a different anthropology, but they also have, you know, similar things that Christians would recognize. Like, they have their own saints, which are victims of police shootings, and they're the chosen ones, which are the social justice warriors, and they have their own canon of woke books. So, I mean, there's so many things that parallel Christianity or other religions, for that matter. I think you'd have to be pretty ignorant or you're suppressing the truth at this point if you don't see this in religious terms. The devotees certainly do, and their fervor is very similar to the fervor of religious crusaders.
Yeah, in fact, atheists and agnostics are blind to the reality that their ideology is religious, even if they claim to deny the existence of God, first of all. We know in reality from Romans 9, there are truly no atheists. But those that claim to be, those that convinced themselves that they are atheists, their rhetoric is equally religious. In fact, there are atheists who talk more about God, albeit in a negative fashion, and deny his existence, but they talk more about him and are offended more by him very often than, sadly, even Christians speak of God.
Yeah, I know. Funny.
This comparison that you have here in the very title of the book, Christianity and Social Justice, Religions in Conflict, how do you respond to those that are actually professing Christians, even those that profess to be confessional, reformed, conservative, and believers in scriptural inerrancy? How do you respond to them when they, in varying degrees of boldness, sometimes just timid acquiescence, and sometimes fire and fury comes from their mouths and their writings in bold advocacy of this movement and its ideologies as being completely, not only compatible with Christianity, but a primary theme in Christianity. They speak yeah. and write often as if your understanding of the Christian faith does not include these concepts and boldly and unashamedly and unabashedly defend and proclaim these concepts, your Christianity is false. I mean, some of them go that far. So how do you respond to these folks?
Yeah, it depends. Like you said, there's a spectrum, so it depends on to what degree I'm responding or they've given themselves over, and then what format I have to respond. You know, if it's social media, it may be different than an in-person conversation, and my relationship makes a difference. But this isn't theoretical for me because I've had so many different conversations and opportunities to confront just this. And the situation you're giving, a reformed person, so someone who's somewhat aware of theology, should we would think would know better than to get sucked into a false narrative. I really try to just push the antithesis with them and just show them, here is what you're adopting, here's where it contradicts Scripture. And, you know, to some degree, depending on how aggressive they are, I may affirm some of the maybe good intentions they may have, but ultimately, the path they're on is leading them to destruction, and it is predicated on a false anthropology, a false view of reality and truth. There's an egalitarian equality that you'll never find in this world, and it's just built on lies, essentially. And so I see aspects of Gnosticism, Pelagianism, Marcionism, certainly Phariseeism and the Galatian heresy at play in the efforts to syncretize social justice. And so I'll start there. I think the best place, usually, depending on what the situation is, it may be different, but I usually try to start off with truth, because you need a foundation. And is there truth that's available to everyone, regardless of their social location? Can we all look at God's Word and understand it by being Bereans and putting in the time and effort necessary and relying on the Holy Spirit and, you know, the tools that God has given us? Or do we need some oppressed perspective? And I think that's a great place to start, because if you don't start there, then you're just going to be talking past each other. You need to have an understanding of what truth is before you can move forward to all the other issues at play. So if you understand standpoint epistemology well, which my book does go into, then you'll be able to be equipped for a conversation like that, I think. And most people don't know they're buying into it.
Well, let's get more involved. I know that I have had guests address this on a number of occasions, but I think, as I already mentioned at the outset, all of this bears repeating. Give us the history of social justice, please, and obviously in abbreviated form, since this is a two-hour program.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll make it quick as I can. I start with Jean-Jacques Rousseau. He believed that we needed to achieve an egalitarian ideal by dismantling social institution that prevented its achievement. And by egalitarian, I mean, in a French revolutionary sense, equality. So we're going to bring in equality by leveling all these institutions that are preventing it from being achieved. So that could be monarchy, that could even be the family, that could be labor relationships, all sorts of things. And in order to do that, we need to implement a force capable of executing this utopian dream. And so the government is the logical mechanism by which social justice is forced upon everyone. And so there is a hierarchy in social justice. It's just not the natural hierarchies that arise or the biblical hierarchies we see in Scripture. It's a hierarchy of the state and then the individual. And Rousseau, you know, you were saying that reformed people tend to, I mean, you find social justice in their ranks. I mean, Rousseau claimed to be a Calvinist at one point. So this isn't the first time that this has happened. You have further development from Karl Marx, who saw everything in terms of economics, that inequality was around in disparities because there was economic disparities. And then Antonio Gramsci developed more. He introduced cultural Marxism, which basically taught that it's not just a economic disparity. There's actually this complex interdependent web of power that exists called the hegemony. And people that are oppressed actually want to be oppressed, and they live in this oppression, and they don't see it as oppression. So we have to drill down deep into culture to find out where the oppression is. And the Frankfurt School, who were the ones to come up with critical theory, drilled down deep throughout the 20th century. You have added to that some of the French deconstructionists, like Jacques Derrida and Michel Foucault, who ended up deconstructing language and meaning. And then that brings us to today's critical race theory. Critical race theory is really just a further development in critical theory that combines postmodernism and Marxism. And they see progress in American race relations as largely a mirage because white privilege exists. And so that's what we're in right now, is that and intersectionality. And the ultimate goal of all these movements, I think, is to destroy Orthodox Christianity, which I know is a bold claim, but I back it up in the book. And Christians need to be aware of this. This is something that's been around for a long time, And the church has tried to compromise with it over and over, and every time it ends up in the same place. The Christian denominations that go in this direction end up dying because they have no truth left. They abandon the Bible, they abandon orthodoxy. So this is a poison pill, and we need to identify it as that.
Well, one of the major themes that we've been hearing, even before a full-blown social justice ideology has dominated the media, we've been hearing for quite a long time about redistributive justice. If you could get a little bit more into that.
Yeah, sure. So redistribution is the mechanism by which we're going to make everything equal. And by equality, I mean an egalitarian equality. It's not equality before the law. It's not equal rights. It ends up in equal outcome. And the phrase that we often hear today is equity, diversity, inclusion, which is just an extension of this egalitarian equality, just the terms that we use for it today. And so in order to make sure that things are equal, we're going to really arbitrarily, the sociologists come up with the groups that are marginalized, that they see as marginalized, that deserve some kind of a recompense for either historic discrimination or present discrimination, as it were, some kind of barriers and disadvantages they face because of the majority culture. And in order to bring about justice, there needs to be some kind of an economic redistribution, whether that's through taxes or through churches. Sometimes want to voluntarily do this. They try to guilt people into giving to a particular thing because they need to because of their white privilege or something like that. Or it could be in the form of redistributing your privilege. It doesn't have to be economic. It could be you need to make sure that the monuments to your ancestors are taken down because they occupy too much of a prominent space and represent oppression, and we need to erect things that demonstrate or give some kind of a platform to groups that have been suffered more or something like that. It could be diversifying your elder board at church or diversifying the church library. So there's many ways that this takes place, but ultimately the goal is to somehow bring about equality of outcome. And so everyone's the same. No one has an advantage over anyone else. And all the wrongs of the past have been righted. And it'll be great because we can just live in this great society that we create. Of course, this is man-centered. It's naive. That's not possible. You have to steal in order to do it. There is no actual redemption in any of this if you're in the quote-unquote oppressor class, according to the sociologists. So that's the redistribution mechanism. And it does precede the phrase social justice. The phrase social justice it's been around for a while, but it was really made popular at the turn of the century by Walter Rauschenberg and a number of others who were social gospel proponents who wanted to take Fabian socialism from the United Kingdom and bring it to America. And Americans didn't like socialism, so they called it social justice. But preceding them, you have redistributive justice. And it's the same thing. It's just trying to bring about some kind of equality that, like I said, is impossible and it's by means that God has not ordained.
Well, we have to go to our first break right now. And as I've said before, if you have a question that you'd like to ask John Harris about this issue, Christianity and Social Justice, Religions and Conflict, give us an email at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with John Harris right after these messages from our sponsors.
Christ, her Lord. Since 2007, Anchored in Truth Ministries has hosted the annual True Church Conference at Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This conference began as a training conference for pastors and church leaders who are striving to build true, biblically healthy churches. Conference themes have included church discipline, repentance, discipleship, conversion, hyper-Calvinism, the family, the doctrine of sin, and the pretenders. Anchored in Truth Ministries would like to invite you to the 2022 True Church Conference, which will be held from February 17th through the 20th. The theme of the conference will be Healthy Body Life in the Local Church, specifically as it pertains to biblical church discipline, biblical counseling, biblical conflict resolution, and protecting the sheep from savage wolves. The scheduled speakers for the conference are Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Jeff Noblet, Jonathan Sims, Richard Caldwell, David Miller, and Barry King. For more information or to register for the conference, please visit anchoredintruth.org. That's anchoredintruth.org. And click on the True Church Conference tab at the top of the page. Hope to see you there.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, We know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Puttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lyndale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you just tuned us in, our guest today is John Harris, author of Christianity and Social Justice, Religions in Conflict. If you would like to submit your own question, my email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. If you want to know, John, if you want to know why I started to get tongue-tied there for a second, I was looking over at your cover, and I almost had a coronary arrest because I thought that it said "Forward by Russell Moore."
Yeah, different Russell.
Russell Fuller is
Fuller.
But anyway,
it was embarrassing.
I'm sorry.
I confused them once, too, on my podcast. It was kind of embarrassing.
Ah!
I was saying all my nice things about Russell Moore, and I realized, wait a minute, no, wrong Russell.
Yeah, if anybody is wondering why we're laughing, it's because Russell Moore happens to be one of the strongest advocates of this movement, coming from within a professedly conservative and reformed perspective within the Southern Baptist Convention. We have a listener in Ada, Ohio, David, who says, does the movement you're talking about actually have a God that they worship and identify as such? If so, would that mean they are worshiping demons, i.e. all false gods are demon worship? Or are they just or are they just identify parallels? I don't know if that is just a typo there. Or are they just, maybe he meant identical parallels to the Christian church without identifying a God that they pray to? Well, it's a multifaceted movement, isn't it? I mean, you have people that make no profession of Christianity, and you have those that are pastors of Christian churches that identify with this movement. So I'm assuming this is not a cookie-cutter answer.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated. Francis Schaeffer said that Marxism was a Christian heresy, so there's elements that I just pointed out that do parallel. It's the rotting corpse of Christianity that Marxism feeds on. It's people who grew up with some sense of Christianity. Maybe it was their grandparents passing it to them, but they grab onto social justice because it feels like something familiar to them. And so it really did arise in these post-Christian societies. But it is secular. It's not, it doesn't purport to have a deity like Islam or Mormons or, you know, other cults would have. They do have certain attributes of God manifested in nature. So, you know, we think of providence as Reformed Christians as being something that, even through trials, you know, brings about something good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But in social justice theory, they have what's called social conflict theory. And we don't, instead of seeing providence, they see the forces that are conflicting with each other in society as being responsible for the current status quo. So that's where, you know, you have, I remember this a few years ago, you probably do too, Chris, where Obama had told, I think it was Joe the plumber, you know, I don't even know if it was him, it was someone, that you didn't build that. Your business that you built, you didn't build that. That was the government who made the roads. And, you know, it's that kind of thing. So there's not providence. It actually shuts God out of the equation. God's not responsible or even part of this discussion. It's all human beings, and everything they do is motivated by some kind of power play. They want to oppress someone, and the government is the one that alleviates the oppression. So it's secularist, but yeah, like we were saying, the Christians will syncretize with this. The term social justice itself is a syncretism, a syncretized word. It is meant to introduce atheistic Fabian socialism into the United States by making it palatable to Christians. So yeah, in one sense, we could say it's secular. In another sense, we could say that the current iteration is very willing to syncretize and merge with all kinds of faiths. Black Lives Matter movement, right? The leaders of that movement are into African shamanism stuff. So, I mean, there's certainly a religious element to this that they're even honest about. So it's a little more complicated, but that's the answer.
Well, thank you, David. Make sure you give us your full mailing address in Ada, Ohio, because you have won a free copy of Christianity and Social Justice, Religions in Conflict by John Harris. By the way, we also just have a shout-out to you from Andrew in Raleigh, North Carolina. We know it's costly and you'll get grief for it, but you're doing the right thing. So thank you, Andrew, for that encouraging word for our guest today. Now, how do you respond to the defense of the aforementioned aspect of this heresy regarding redistributive justice? There may be those that are either Christians, professing Christians, or leftists who love to rub cherry-picked Bible verses in the face of conservative Christians, thinking that they have a gotcha moment when they are completely misinterpreting the text.
Sure.
But there are some that may use the whole story of Zacchaeus, for instance, the tax collector who was very dishonest and basically robbing people. And when he came to Christ in saving faith, he made restitution for those that he had robbed, and not only just gave them back what he had robbed, but much more so. So how do you respond to those folks that try to use something like that as a defense?
I think the answer is in how you framed it. It was those who he had robbed. And it wasn't the kind of scheme that's being discussed today to give reparations to the ancestors of people who their ancestors may have experienced some kind of oppression. It's more in the Zacchaeus' situation. He had personally done some wrong things to people and wanted to make it right. And so the Bible does teach restitution. There's no question about that. But the goal of that isn't Zacchaeus didn't go to the people he had wronged and then compare his wealth to their wealth and try to come up with some kind of system so that they could both be equal. It was really in the preservation of private property, which goes right in the face of the social justice movement. They don't like that. They don't like private property. But that's what Zacchaeus was actually respecting in that situation. So I think it actually works the exact opposite of how social justice advocates want to use that story.
By the way, we just have another shout-out to you of encouragement. Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse, Indiana, who I happen to be familiar with as well, fine pastor, who actually does one of the NASB ads for us here. And for some reason I'm having difficulty enlarging his text on microscopic font, or his email. His email. Here it says, awesome! We had John Harris out for our Jesus and Politics conference back in October. Say hi for me.
Yeah, he's great. That was very kind.
And so what about this whole idea of socialism and Marxism? Obviously, some of the movers and shakers in this ideology, like those that founded the Black Lives Matter organization, are openly Marxist. But
right.
I had a conversation with a friend who I have a lot of high regard for. I've actually had this brother preach at my pastor's luncheon a number of years ago. And I have arranged other speaking engagements for him. I have even highly recommended him to candidate for a pastorate of a prominent Long Island church where I used to live. But I've become saddened that he has become somewhat warm towards this ideology. And basically said that he sees problems amongst those that are for it and those that are against it, but he finds more problems with those that are against it. But he said to me that the Christians that he knows personally, those that especially claim to be Reformed, he says none of them claim to be Marxists or none of them want to promote the ideology of Marxism and socialism and communism. So how do you respond to folks who say things like that?
Yeah, that's not to be shameless in plugging the book again, but that's part of the reason I actually wrote the book, because I went to a theological seminary that was, at least they presented it as a Reformed leaning seminary, and this stuff was everywhere there, and I mean, all over the place. And they would themselves, though, say, of course we're not Marxists, we're not communists, you're slandering us, say that. I mean, how many Democrat, though, members of Congress would say that they're Marxists? There might be a few, but most people don't want that. That's a negative pejorative, especially for those who lived through parts of the Cold War. So I don't like to make that the main. I don't start out the conversation with calling people a Marxist. I usually ask, you know, try to get them to define their worldview, and then if Marxism comes out of that, if I start identifying characteristic Marxist things, then I may point it out over time. But most people are not classical Marxists in this movement. They're an iteration of Marxism. It's downstream from Karl Marx, and a lot of things have been added to it, postmodern things. And most people don't think about the worldview that they actually live in and use to interpret reality. It's just worldviews are caught more than taught. So you don't have to read Marx to be adopting some of his ideas through others. And so I do point out in the book many names of prominent evangelicals who even would say they're Reformed who have bought into this to some degree. And I point out where they bought into it, why it's wrong. And you really do have to be on your toes with this because they want to make that the issue. I prefer not to make that the issue, whether or not someone's a Marxist or not. I just want to know, okay, is what you're believing true? Is it error? And if it's error, if it doesn't comport to the Word of God, then we need to disassociate from it and perhaps even anathematize it. If it's a false gospel, which you pointed out earlier, some of the social justice stuff, in fact, much of it, is a false gospel. It totally syncretizes a social justice law with the gospel, which is no different than the Galatian heresy. And anytime you hear someone say, you have part of the gospel, or your gospel is not complete, or, you know, there's a leftist cause over here is a gospel issue, you're hearing that Galatian heresy. And people that are usually advocating that don't even think in those terms. They don't think that that's what they're doing. So they do need someone with discernment to approach them, but I don't usually start with calling them Marxist. That's usually a big turnoff, and they don't like that. So I try to start a little more diplomatically.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. This is the break that's a bit longer than the others, folks, so please be patient with us. We have to have a longer break in the middle of the show. Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required by the FCC to add their own public service announcements and other local things to geographically localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So, while they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can for our advertisers, because if you respond to them, whether it be purchasing their products, using their services, visiting their churches, or supporting their parachurch organizations, they are more than likely going to want to renew their contracts if enough of you do that. But also, if you can't do any of those things, please respond to our advertisers just to say thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If indeed you do really thank them and are grateful to them for keeping the show on the air because you love the show. If that's the case, please thank them, as many of them as possible, and use the information that they provide in their ads to do that. But also, use this time to write down your questions for John Harris and submit them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Since 2007, Anchored in Truth Ministries has hosted the annual True Church Conference at Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This conference began as a training conference for pastors and church leaders who are striving to build true, biblically healthy churches. Conference themes have included church discipline, repentance, discipleship, conversion, hyper-Calvinism, the family, the doctrine of sin, and the pretenders. Anchored in Truth Ministries would like to invite you to the 2022 True Church Conference, which will be held from February 17th through the 20th. The theme of the conference will be Healthy Body Life in the Local Church, specifically as it pertains to biblical church discipline, biblical counseling, biblical conflict resolution, and protecting the sheep from savage wolves. The scheduled speakers for the conference are Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Jeff Noblett, Jonathan Sims, Richard Caldwell, David Miller, and Barry King. For more information or to register for the conference, please visit anchoredintruth.org. That's anchoredintruth.org. And click on the True Church Conference tab at the top of the page. Hope to see you there.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school, and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, never forget how vital solid-ground-books.com is to the survival of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are such a significant supporter financially of this program. If they were to back out and no longer advertise with us, we would likely have to go off the air unless God provided a financial miracle of some kind to replenish that loss. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, especially knowing that Christmas is coming up, and you could purchase gifts for everyone you know, whether it be your parents, your spouse, your children, your siblings, your neighbors, your friends at church, your colleagues at work, whether they are saved or unsaved. Christian literature is a very valuable tool, not only to build up, edify, and strengthen the true believers in Christ, but God very frequently uses, as most of you know, solid biblical Christian literature to lead the lost to salvation. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com first for all your Christmas shopping needs. And always remember to mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing Solid Ground Christian Books a favor by purchasing books from them, And you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping a very important advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish and bring back into print nothing but the finest in Reformed Christian literature, dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, with such modern-day writers as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. By the way, folks, I hope that many of you listening will join me December 10th through the 12th, it's next week, for the Nonconformist Ministries Conference in New York City. I am very excited about this conference being hosted by Pastor Andrew Woodard of Providence Baptist Church of Manhattan, one of the very few churches in Manhattan that takes a public, vocal, strong stance against the woke movement, against critical race theory, against Black Lives Matter, against all of these things that have so corrupted the minds of not only the lost, but even professing Christians. And this is going to be, I believe, an extraordinary conference. And if you have, if you have interest in attending this conference, joining me at this conference, I hope you do. You could either email me, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, for more details, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, because I do intend to be there, or you could go to www.ncc, which stands for Nonconformist Conference, .nyc/conference. That's www.ncc.nyc/conference. You'll have all the details that you will need for this conference, which I said is next week, December 10th through the 12th, and I hope to see you there. Folks, as much discomfort as this causes me, I am making another appeal to you for donations. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in urgent need of your donations, especially since when we move into our new facilities, we will have a considerable rent increase. So help us to make up for that difference in rent with your gifts. Also help us replenish that which was lost due to the hysteria associated with the coronavirus pandemic mandates, and the people who have been faithful givers in our audience, some of them have either radically reduced what they give or cut out giving altogether because they are having a radically reduced income as a result, or they have lost their jobs entirely, or their businesses. So please, if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you care to use snail mail for a limited time, we are going to have the same address that we have always had since we relaunched. You will see that appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Keep in mind that that address changes January 1st, and therefore, if you are sending in a check via snail mail, you might want to contact me via email and ask me what the current mailing address is. So I will let you know about that when we have that available for you. Also, please remember that I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to from their own local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't financially harm your own church in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When I founded this show back in 2005, one of the main reasons I did so was to be a blessing, a friend, a helping hand, and a platform to the local church. I never wanted to do anything that would anyway be a harm or hindrance to the local pastor and the local church. So therefore, do not give your church less than you normally give them because you want to give us something. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to support your local church and your family, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones that are not members of local Bible-believing churches, no matter where on the planet Earth you or they live, I have extensive lists spanning the globe featuring biblically rock-solid churches everywhere. So I may be able to find a church that is biblically faithful within reasonable distance from where you live or where you're vacationing or where your family, friends, and loved ones live. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to our guest today, John Harris, as we continue our fascinating discussion on Christianity and social justice, religions in conflict. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Some of you have sent in questions without identifying where you live, your city, state, and country of residence. So please, if you are one of them who have just sent in a question without that information, please go back to your email, resend it, including your city, state, and country of residence. And we will have our guest answer your question to the best of his ability. We have Andrew from Dalton, Georgia, who says, "Greetings, brothers Chris and John. If not previously mentioned, as I begin listening late, could you help us to understand Tony Evans' kingdom race theology? Is this not the same thing as CRT, essentially, only given a new name? Thanks. God bless you both." I have not heard about this. Maybe you have?
I have, yeah. I did a podcast on it, I don't know now, maybe a month and a half ago or something. But yeah, Tony Evans has tried to come up with some kind of alternative to critical race theory that is biblical, and he calls it kingdom race theology. It would be KRD, I guess. And that's, or KRT rather, and that's what he's trying to market to Christians at universities. Like, he was at Liberty University talking about this. And I listened to his lectures on it, and from what I can tell, it's a syncretized critical race theory. He doesn't adopt every element of CRT, but he does adopt some of them. And then he tries to merge that with racial reconciliation and Jews and Gentiles becoming one in Christ, and they see that that's the same thing. And, you know, it's really not. So he implies Peter's a racist, which is a very typical tactic that social justice evangelicals take. So I would stay away from that, but it does market itself as something that's more biblical. So it's very sneaky the way some of these people will communicate, and it's very subversive, actually. That's what Paul said, right? That people come prepped in unaware, and so there's a subversive nature to this.
Wow. Have not heard about that. I'm glad that I have learned about that. Let me have you clarify something, though.
Sure.
You said that he accused Peter of racism. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's a very standard thing. He's not the only one to do that, but that, yeah, there's some kind of a problem with Peter. That the theological disagreement over the Judaizer heresy was really, it was a cultural clash, and racism was at play, and that was the real issue.
Well, don't you think, though, that temporarily, before Paul rebuked him, that Peter was guilty of bigotry against the Gentiles, which was why he was you know, siding with those that were not eating with the Gentiles, the Jews, the Jewish Christians that were not eating with the Gentiles. Don't you think? I'm not saying that he was perpetual.
Yeah, yeah. No, sure. No, it's fair. I mean, that could certainly be part of it. But people who try to make that the main thing, that that's the fundamental disagreement here, are missing the big picture, which is there's a theological problem that it was over circumcision and following the laws contained in ordinances. It wasn't about your skin color or your socioeconomic background or your social location or any of these things. So yeah, I'm sure that there's stigmas that are attached to that, that, you know, the way someone looks can certainly play into it, but that wasn't the main issue. And that's the problem. It's an emphasis problem. Jarvis Williams does this too. When he very honestly, he unashamedly takes critical race theory and merges it with the Bible, and he uses the same story to try to prove his case that, you know, this CRT-driven racial reconciliation is in Galatians, and that's what Galatians is about. And it's just simply not true. That's not what Galatians was about. So I hope that answers it. I don't know if I answered it completely or not, but that's my reading of that. And I do get into it somewhat in the book.
Well, Andrew of Dalton, Georgia, please make sure that we have your full mailing address in Dalton, Georgia, because you have also won a free copy of Christianity and Social Justice, Religions in Conflict by our guest, John Harris. And the issue that comes up a lot when I am speaking either on the air about this or off the air, is how do we treat our brethren when they rise up and begin to make public their allegiance to social justice and many of the ideologies underneath the woke umbrella? Are we to disfellowship them? Are we to not invite the pastors that are guilty of this to speak at our churches? Not on the subject of social justice, of course, but if they wanted to do a series on the 5 points of Calvinism or something that is unrelated to these things, should our pulpits be open to them? If they are members of our churches, should they be under discipline if they are very vocal about this and trying to proselytize these things? How are we supposed to respond to this?
I see a good model in Galatians where Paul confronts Peter. Peter wasn't condemned. There was no anathema against Peter, but he was being unclear, it says in chapter 2, about the gospel. And that's the issue. So if someone's being unclear about the gospel and they respond to correction, then there's a restoration that can take place. But if they refuse to do that, and they're going to keep pushing the same false ideologies, which undermine objective truth and the gospel and biblical justice, which we haven't even gotten into all those things, but if it totally contradicts Christianity and they're going to keep pushing these ideas, then the answer is, yeah, absolutely disfellowship them, or at least don't promote them if you were going to have a conference and they were invited. That's perfectly appropriate, and you have to be clear about it. And so this is where I guess I'm unique in the sense of, I'm sure, Chris, you're this way as well, but there's not many like us, where if someone is going to promote critical race theory, and they may do it by another name, maybe it's kingdom race theology or something, but the ideas that are contained in critical race theory are going to be merged with the Bible somehow, and they're unapologetic about it. I don't have a problem calling them a false teacher and saying, stay away from that person. And I know that harms relationships and people don't, you know, that's so mean, you shouldn't say that. But the model that we have from the New Testament is to be clear about error. And the people who are causing the division are the ones who bring the error. It's not those who are trying to defend the truth and correct the error. So I'm not causing division by pointing out that someone's a wolf or someone's being subversive and is a false teacher.
Okay, we have a question from somebody that has not provided their name, city, state, or country. So I'm assuming this person wants to remain anonymous. The question is DBU still a solid conservative choice anymore? Now, I'm revealing my ignorance right now, but what is DBU?
DBU?
Yeah, D as in David, B as in boy, U as in university.
Huh. I'm not sure what university that's referring to.
I might not even be a university. I just used that word to identify
that. Dallas? Maybe Dallas Baptist? I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't know the answer to that exactly.
Well, listener, if you could rewrite your question and give us the full name of this entity you're speaking of, or of which you're speaking, DBU, and also please provide your first name, city, and state, and country of residence, unless there is a reason you're remaining anonymous. So hopefully we'll find out what exactly that means.
Yeah, DBU. I don't know. It could be a lot of things.
Have you had pushback at all from people that are coming from unexpected backgrounds regarding your book, or perhaps even what, if any, pushback or even outright opposition have you witnessed against those that are taking a stance against social justice from unlikely places? We all expect it from liberals and leftists that find out about anyone who may be taking a stance against this. But as I even told you off the air earlier, I have been shocked when, well, actually, I may have even mentioned it on the air, but I've been shocked by some of the places where some of the advocates of social justice are rising up, even confessional Reformed Baptist churches, although that is, from my experience, the least likely place to find advocates of this. It obviously still exists because I've experienced it. So, I mean, do you have any?
Well, I've actually started an LLC for a documentary filmmaking group back in January, and we've been tracking some stories that are just incredible. We put out one called "Paint the Wall Black," which is about a Christian young man who basically got canceled by BLM. But like you said, we expect that from BLM. What this person did not expect. And he had the number one restaurant in Chicago, and his business was totally shut down, was that people from the local Christian university came out and were protesting with the protesters against him, which is Moody. That's Moody Bible Institute. So that's the kind of thing that I think shocked me at first. I was at Southeastern when I started bringing some of these issues up, and I was shocked to see how scared the conservative professors on campus were of talking about it, how emboldened the progressive professors were in the administration. And since that time, not much has surprised me, actually. So I guess I was kind of early on red pill, for lack of a better term, to the whole thing. And my eyes were open, and I saw that there were a lot of self-proclaimed conservatives who were on the social justice bandwagon. And they weren't really conservative or Orthodox in any traditional sense. So yeah, I mean, I've had people that'll say that they're Orthodox and they go to a Presbyterian or a Baptist church that's confessional, and then they're telling me that I'm a racist, or there's one I just read recently that I was a patriarchal sexist. And so yeah, I mean, I get these kinds of things, but the people who say them, though, are the ones that have deviated from their own tradition and are the ones that have changed. It's not me. I've stood still for my short life. I've pretty much been standing in about the same place. So I don't think it's me that's changed. I think you probably feel the same way, Chris. Like, I haven't changed. You know, what's going on?
Oh, yeah, because some of the leading advocates of social justice are men that I have interviewed on this show as little as 9 years ago, who were saying polar opposite things that they're saying now, or polar opposite things to what they're saying now, I should say. And it had me, especially when I first learned of it, completely baffled.
Because I'll say this, on your show. I've never said this publicly, but I was a graduate assistant at Liberty University for 2 years, and we would get complaints coming into the school. Fortunately, I was in a department that was very conservative, and they were able to basically field that. But people trying to find out where I worked, calling the school to get me fired. So, and these are Christians that are calling in, or to get me disciplined or something like that. So, you know, and at that time I was just making videos here or there talking about what was going on. But, yeah, I mean, it does come from places that I think people that are, you know, like you said, 9 years ago, solid in the ministries. And now you see what they're doing, and it's insane.
And it's not only that they were solid, but they were actually making it clear publicly, not only in what they said from podiums and pulpits, but what they wrote in published books. They were saying 180 degree different things than they are saying today. And the key part of that is, I am not aware, I have not heard any statements by these specific individuals where they actually say, I know I said things that are contrary to my current beliefs 9 years ago and have written about things from a totally different perspective with a different biblical worldview. But I repent of that. Please forgive me for that. I recant that. I've not heard that kind of rhetoric, if you follow what I'm saying. It's as if they never. Said or wrote anything contrary to what they're saying now.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It happens very rarely. I think of actually Al Mohler. I remember in 2014 repented. He used that word that he had opposed the idea of same-sex orientation and homosexual orientation, and now he realizes that was wrong. So I mean, you have little things like that, but you know, overall, no.
Now, what did he mean by that, by the way? Do you know the full context of that word?
He was at an ERLC event, and at that particular time, he was trying to make the point, he tried to riff on human depravity, that our orientation can be affected by our human depravity. And that's, but the thing, it doesn't make sense, because on the briefing for years, he was opposing that. He was opposing the idea of orientation, because he knew as soon as you believe this was baked in, or somehow you could, you know, there's a foothold for some kind of a design flaw or something that people could claim, well, I was born this way. You know, it's just who I am.
And of course, in Romans 9, we see the built-in answer from Paul. Because I don't necessarily reject the notion that humans born totally depraved. If David was a liar from the womb, for somebody to have an inclination towards same-sex attraction as a part of their depraved nature, I'm not ruling that out, but that does not give them a pass, and it does not.
Yeah, but everyone believes that. Every Orthodox Christian knows that there are certain sins that some people might have a propensity toward, or they might do more of. That's not a revelation or news to anyone. But to come out and say, I apologize for opposing same-sex orientation, and using that language of orientation, which is a Freudian category.
Right, right. And even to apologize.
Something a little more.
As if you're sad and you regret hurting the feelings of those that are involved in damnable sin. You know what I mean?
Right.
For him to phrase it that way, I repent of that. And
Well, I'll say this too, Chris. I don't know how many of these guys that have gone in this direction, children or not, if they don't have children, relatives, friends who have children who have come out of the closet, or they're on the woke train. And I mean, Lincoln Duncan said this at Shepherd's, essentially, I don't want my grandkids to go woke on LGBT, so I'll go woke on race. And that's kind of the strategy too that we have to remember. Is there's a pragmatism here of we don't want our kids and our grandkids to alienate us. So what can we do to try to appease them and accommodate them? And that's a very serious thing. But Jesus said he came to bring a sword. We have to stick with Jesus, even over our children sometimes.
Yeah, and that is one of the greatest mysteries as well. Somebody as biblically knowledgeable and brilliant as Ligon Duncan, who I've had on this program years ago, who wrote a really extraordinary commendation for this show, how he could remain a very close, retain or maintain a very close affiliation with Jamar Tisby.
Well, he wrote the foreword to Woke Church.
Yeah,
he
there you go.
That. Yeah.
That's
Eric Mason,
that's,
right there.
That's mind boggling.
I agree.
I had to walk out, well, I didn't have to, I chose to walk out with disgust from a session of the Gospel Coalition Conference. I can't remember how many years ago it was, but it was in Indianapolis. And there was a panel discussion that Jamar Tisby was involved in. And he said, this is what was the catalyst for me just walking out. He said, I'm so sick and tired of white Christians policing the theology of Dr. King. Now, Jamar Tisby, if you're listening, I doubt you are, but aren't we as Christians bound to police everyone's theology, especially if they're a prominent figure teaching millions of people? And, you know, people who view this person as a hero for decades and as an icon of even Christianity, aren't we supposed to police that person's theology? I mean, Paul commended the Bereans for policing his theology. So I don't even understand a statement like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be the first to say, I mean, I think I Have a Dream speech is one of the greatest speeches in American history.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think there's a great legacy there, but we cannot deny the fact that Martin Luther King Jr. was a heretic. He also had some very bad moral indiscretions. We'll just leave it at that. And to hold him up as the quintessential Christian hero, which is, by the way, what I experienced in my time at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. I mean, he was the ideal Christian. We were selling his books at the church I went to, which is a solid founders, Mark Dever, you know, was the Nine Marks Church. I mean, it was at the school. But again, they're upholding this man and his theology and calling him a brother and a legitimate Christian because he was right on some social issue when they're ignoring his blatant heresy. And that's what the social justice movement does. It reprioritizes everything. So the revolution becomes more important than even fundamental Christian truths. And that should scare everyone.
Yeah, it sure should. In fact, I interviewed a biographer of King, somebody who wrote a biography of him within the last 3 years, a professedly reformed person. In fact, at the time, he was a pastor within the Orthodox Presbyterian Church denomination. He is no longer in that denomination. But I interviewed him on his biography, and he said that he could not say with confidence that King was in heaven, even though this was a book, a biography, putting King in the best possible light and saying that Christians should, you know, learn greatly from his teachings and his life and legacy. It was not meant to be a critical examination of King, but my interview was. I just wanted it to be an open and honest discussion about King, which was interesting. The guest, right before we went on the air, when I was on the phone with him, said, what do you mean by open, honest discussion about King's theology? I said, exactly that. I don't want us to cover up anything or candy coat anything. But during the interview, he admitted that he cannot say with confidence King is in heaven. And the only thing that he could point to as a reason for his own belief that there may very well have been a conversion of King, because he admits that King's beliefs in seminary were heretical, because King denied the deity of Christ, he denied the virgin birth of Christ, he denied the substitutionary atonement of Christ, the bodily resurrection. And he said that since his father, who was a fundamentalist, according to this biographer, his father was a fundamentalist who welcomed Martin Jr. back into the church as a teacher. And because of Martin saying something to the effect of during his struggles in the civil rights movement, that he said something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, that the God of my seminary days has no answer for these things, or something like that. He was almost convinced that King, almost completely convinced, I should say, that King did indeed have a rebirth. But the problem is, if you're truly born again and you know that you are a public figure that has taught damnable things, you're going to be on the rooftops making sure everybody knows that you've denounced your former
views. It's more than what King said in seminary, too. That's often, they want to minimize the target. Be like, well, he wrote the Humanity and Divinity of Jesus paper, and that's heresy. But, I mean, King was ecumenical. He called his march in Selma with Catholics and Jews a second great awakening. He said that the rich man and the rich man and Lazarus went to hell because he was a conscientious objector in the war against poverty. That was in 1967. Christianity failed to see its own revolutionary edge, and he portrayed Jesus as a revolutionary throughout his whole career. I mean, he even used liberal language in 1968. This is right before his death, that Jesus had a glow of the divine. So, I mean, this is not the language of Orthodox Christians, that Jesus was, in fact, God. He's still referring to him as just having this glow. So I don't see the evidence for it, but even if, you know, best case scenario, this is a guy who never recanted his heresy, and you're holding him up as the model Christian.
Right.
I have no problem
with many people upholding him as a political hero.
Sure.
I uphold Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin as political heroes, and I don't believe that they were regenerate. I don't think there's any evidence.
Right. Agreed.
But I think there is a vast difference, as I even told this biographer in the interview. There's a vast difference between identifying somebody as a hero, whether it be Babe Ruth or General George S. Patton or Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, and we could go on and on. There's a difference between identifying a person as a hero in those realms. There's a vast chasm of difference between identifying them as Christian heroes.
Agreed.
Well, we have to go to our final break. It's going to be much more brief than the other breaks. Please, if you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Since 2007, Anchored in Truth Ministries has hosted the annual True Church Conference at Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This conference began as a training conference for pastors and church leaders who are striving to build true, biblically healthy churches. Conference themes have included church discipline, repentance, discipleship, conversion, hyper-Calvinism, the family, the doctrine of sin, and the pretenders. Anchored in Truth Ministries would like to invite you to the 2022 True Church Conference, which will be held from February 17th through the 20th. The theme of the conference will be Healthy Body Life in the Local Church, specifically as it pertains to biblical church discipline, biblical counseling, biblical conflict resolution, and protecting the sheep from savage wolves. The scheduled speakers for the conference are Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Jeff Noblet, Jonathan Sims, Richard Caldwell, David Miller, and Barry King. For more information or to register for the conference, please visit anchoredintruth.org. That's anchoredintruth.org. And click on the True Church Conference tab at the top of the page. Hope to see you there.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
And folks, if you want to hear an excellent lecture on the danger of cultural Marxism seeping into the church, the man that you just heard endorsing the NASB, my dear friend Dr. Tony Costa of Toronto Baptist Seminary, a number of years ago presented a lecture at my biannual pastor's luncheon for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on that very theme. He did a masterful job, and you can actually see it on YouTube if you just type in the search engine, and I hope it's still there. Maybe YouTube took it down. But type in the search engine, Tony Costa, Cultural Marxism, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. That should be enough information to get the video of his lecture at my luncheon. John Harris, if you could please conclude by summarizing what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Well, Jesus.
Amen.
Tear it all down. Jesus is enough. His word is true. His ethics are right. We're called to make disciples by teaching people the things that he commanded, and social justice is not part of that. He does command us to be people who are just, and he does want us to fulfill his law by engaging in charity, but this doesn't mean that taking from some and giving to others forcibly or using the mechanism of the government to create some kind of a utopia where everything's equal. In fact, he said the poor will always be among us, and that evil comes within man. It's not something, outside of man that then corrupts man and makes man evil from the outside. It's actually the heart of man that is ultimately evil. And so if I could encourage anyone who's young especially and wants to see change in the world, the first step is the gospel and introducing people to who Jesus is, because without that, then there's really not much you can do except rearrange the furniture on a sinking ship. And then, secondly, is by studying and knowing His law. And once you look at the Word of God, you'll find that it's not a book that assumes that you need to be in a certain social location to understand who God is. He's available to everyone. His Holy Spirit gives gifts to all of His children, no matter what social location they come from. And so I think the fundamental assumptions of the social justice movement are just simply incorrect for the Christian. And I hope that the book will help those trying to navigate this in their own church, because it does sound good at first. I understand that. I understand how tempting it can be, especially when the whole culture is saying the same thing at the same time. We have to stand firm, like Luther did at the Diet of Worms. And that's what my encouragement is for people. Stand firm.
Amen. And how can our listeners get a hold of this book?
You can go to ChristianityandSocialJustice.com, and you can order it from me directly.
Are you there, brother? You're cutting out a little.
Was I? I'm sorry. ChristianityandSocialJustice.com or on Amazon.
Great. And folks, don't forget about the Nonconformist Ministries Conference that I will be attending, God willing, next week, December 10th through the 12th in New York City. The actual title of the conference is A Line in the Sand, and the speakers include my friend Michael O'Fallon
Mike Abendroth, Josh Bice, Virgil Walker, Daryl Harrison, John Benzinger, Ryan Heffenbein, and Andy Woodard, who is also the host of this conference. If you want more information, if you want to join me there in New York City, December 10th through the 12th, for the Nonconformist Ministry Conference, A Line in the Sand, go to ncc.nyc/conference, ncc.nyc/conference. I want to thank everybody for listening today, especially those who took the time and writing questions. I want to thank my guest, of course, John Harris, for doing such an excellent job. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.